Fan Junkies Radio is brought to you by FanJunkies.net, where sports meet social networking.
And welcome to another exciting episode of Fan Junkies Radio. I'm your host, Jonathan Ragus. Alongside me, as always, my partner in crime, Mike McShane. Mike, how you doing, pal?
Fantastic, Jonathan. Fantastic. Great weekend of sports, I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah. It was NFL playoff weekend, and wow, some real exciting games that we'll definitely get to in less than a few minutes, Mike. So,
yeah.
I mean, we're going to have a pretty heavy NFL show here today.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you and I were just talking pre-show, and we're talking about all the things that are coming up over the course of the next couple of weekends. You know, next weekend we got hockey kicking off, and we were just going over the lineup of games for Saturday and Sunday next. Wow, I mean, we've got a couple of weekends coming here that are just going to be incredible.
Absolutely, absolutely. But you know what, let's talk about some NHL first, because as you said, opening weekend in NHL, January 19th, it starts Saturday. 26 out of the 30 teams are going to be playing, Mike.
Yeah.
And we have some big games from, the Penguins and Flyers, Rangers and Bruins, Blackhawks and Kings, Capitals and Lightning. Whichever way you look, Red Wings and Blues, there are some nice matchups this weekend. And almost all of these teams have brand new players. And they're only going to have basically a week to try to practice and, you know, get that camaraderie together before they start playing Saturday. You know, do you think everybody's going to come out really slow here, or do you think some teams are going to just really blow past everybody?
Well, you know, I guess we're going to just have to kind of wait and see. I mean, one of the things that I posted up on our Frat House Eagleville Facebook page the other day, you know, when the official schedule came down, I believe it was announced on Saturday night.
Yeah.
They're going to play 48 games in 99 days.
Mm.
Jonathan, that's a game every other day.
It is. You know what that sounds like, man? It sounds like when we had Nate Bellamy on here. You know, what are they going to be like, the New York Renaissance?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, my concern there, it was a concern. We brought it up. I remember bringing it up last year when the NBA kicked up. My concern is, you know, injuries.
Yeah.
You know, you get – Two things you got to take into account. Number one, they're playing games so quickly that they're, you know, you don't have that off time to recuperate and come back.
Yeah.
But let's say you have a really good team that loses a key player or two, and suddenly, man, I'm going to tell you, with a shortened season like this, they could be completely out of it that quick.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know what? You talked about it with NBA when we've seen a lot of injuries in that lockout shortened season. This is a different game. You know, this is a brutal game. Hits. Just the conditioning part of it is brutal. You know, we're going to see some injuries.
Oh, yeah. As you pointed out, I think, last week, you know, you had said, you know, let's get it straight. This is, you know, when you have a season like what we're talking about here, you're talking about the playoffs almost beginning immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, really, because everybody's going to be playing for the playoffs, which are going to be determined very, very fast.
Yeah, well,
now, when you got that kind of intensity – and teams going at each other, you know, I'm picturing, as we just pointed out, I mean, you know, the first game for the Flyers against Penguins. I mean, everybody. The other structural part of this, too, if I'm not mistaken, is you will only play within your own, conference? Is it?
Yeah.
Is that the way it's going?
Yes.
And so the East will not play the West. In fact, we won't even see that until the Stanley Cup Finals, I suppose.
Yeah, believe it or not, yeah, we will not see it until the Stanley Cup Finals, it looks like.
Everything is going to be interconference, which means there's a lot more, I guess you've got the rivalries. You know, you're going to have a lot more rivalry competitions going.
Well, it's every win is going to count now.
Yeah.
Every win is going to count. You know, you're not starting off in an 82-game season where you can start out slow. You're going to have to start out good in this NHL season, because you are going to be playing against teams that are going to be fighting for position in your conference to get into the playoffs.
Right.
So these are must-win games starting Saturday. That's it. The playoffs start Saturday. And, you know, like we said, Flyers and Penguins, Rangers and Bruins, Leafs and Canadians, Devils and Islanders. I mean, these are teams that are going to have to beat each other.
Yeah.
in order to get a good playoff position. I mean, you know what? There is no room for starting off slow.
And so let me ask you, because, I mean, you follow hockey as much as I do. What's your sense? Do you think that, in fact, it's going to start off, you know, that it's going to take some time for things to gel? Or do you think that it's going to come right out of the, you know, right out of the pack? It's almost going to be like watching mid-season hockey.
Yeah.
I can't imagine we're going to see mid-season hockey quality. I can't imagine that we will.
I think we're going to have to see it, Mike. That's the thing. You know, I honestly think that these guys are going to come out playing like it is mid-season, like they are fighting for a playoff chance. I mean, this isn't week one in the NHL. We're in, like, week 20. You know, I mean, this just has to happen. I mean, these guys are going to have to come out. They're going to have to play hard. They're going to have to play to win, Mike. There is no room for losing right now. There is no room for starting off slow. And unfortunately, when you see injuries starting to trickle down, I mean, this is really going to hurt some teams' chances this year.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. And I would anticipate, I think, and I'm willing to make the prediction right now, I have a sneaky suspicion that injuries are going to be on the up this year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Mike. I mean, I just can't see how we're not going to see any injuries to some, you know, to some big names in these teams. I just don't see how that's not going to happen.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Our opinion, do you agree? Call in. Let us know. Let's talk some NHL with you. 347-237-5373. Let us know what you think about the NHL. You know, is the playoffs starting Saturday?
And let me get, just for I guess just for the fun of it, let me get your predict right now on the Atlantic Division. Where do you see it coming down?
Oh, man, that's going to be tough because, you know, that is one of the most, you know, competitive, you know, divisions in hockey. So, Rangers fan, of course. I hope to see my Rangers take it again like they did last season. But, you know, Pittsburgh, Crosby coming back, you know, Flyers, Devils, even the Islanders, you know, 34 and 37 last season. They got some nice young players. Are they, you know, and every year is passing where they're just going to get better, those young players. So, I mean, Atlantic's going to be up in the air. Same thing as the Northeast and even the Southeast. So, you know, that whole Eastern Conference is going to be, you know, really competitive right out the gate. You know, but you know what? Same thing with the Western.
Four teams made it to the playoffs out of the Atlantic Division.
With the
Devils, the Flyers, Pittsburgh, and the Rangers. So, four teams. You know, only one team didn't make it, and that was the Islanders.
Yeah.
Do you see it being as competitive and as tight as it was last year? I mean, I'm looking over the final standings in the Atlantic Division from last year. Yeah, the Rangers at 109 points. There was Pittsburgh right behind them at 108.
Yeah.
The Flyers came in at 103, and then right behind them, you had the Devils at 102.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
No,
not this season. Jersey's really going to miss Parisi, so that's really going to drop their win total.
Right.
Down. Philadelphia, 103 points. You know, they had a good season last year, Mike, but unfortunately they would have had a lot more points, but the Rangers just owned them last year.
Yeah.
So, you know, that honestly, if they would have won some of those games against the Rangers, you could have saw them, you know, being at 108 or even 109 and 110, so they could have easily taken the Atlantic Division if they won some of those games against the Rangers. But,
right.
You know, 48 games. Short season. Who knows what's going to happen? I mean, it could be reversed. The Islanders could be in first place. Who knows?
Uh-huh.
You know, we'll see what happens. It all starts Saturday. So, and it's going to be fun, Mike. I know. I know you're looking forward to it as much as I am. So, we'll see what happens.
Yep, I hear you. I hear you. Actually, I don't.
Yeah, you do. You hear me?
No, I'm having. Okay, let's see. You were breaking up real, real bad.
All right. Did you hear me now?
I was just about to say to you, do me a favor. I was just about to send you a note and say, do me a favor and call me back in. But okay, right now everything seems to be all right.
Listen, man, you gotta tell those guys to stop messing with your electricity over there.
It must be. I'm telling you, what? It was Sidekick the last time, right? He was over here messing with me.
Yeah. He had ruffles over there. They were on pole. They were ripping the lines off your pole, man. Messing with your legs. Because what were we talking about again? I can't remember. It was something football.
Yeah.
It was something you guys did. Oh, was it the refs, I think, or something? I don't know. Something like that.
Something he didn't agree with me on.
Yeah. I think you guys battled about it 5 minutes at the frat house tonight.
I think so. I think that's what it was.
Yeah. Once again, you know, we're going to get to NFL talk right now, 50 minutes in the show. Let's start the phone number again for our guest to call in. Listeners calling in if you want to talk about anything. you know, kind of an open forum Monday here, Mike.
There you go. I like that.
Yeah. 347-237-5373. Once again, 347-237-5373. Call in. Talk sports with us, man, because that's what we're here for.
Yep. Give us a holler.
Yep. All right. Well, exciting weekend NFL playoffs. We had some really good games, so let's start off with this game right away because, you know, I don't think it was that exciting. It was more that we knew it was going to happen. New England Patriots beat the Houston Texans 41-28.
Yep.
Let's talk a little bit about this, Mike. Once again, you have a guy in Shane Vereen on the Patriots, and the Patriots made a star out of somebody that really isn't a star.
Well, you know, it's funny because we bring it up over here, you know, weekly. Because, I mean, as you well know, I mean, we probably tune into every single, in fact, I don't even have to say probably. We do tune in every single week to whatever the New England game is here.
Yeah, you guys got to get some lives over there, man.
But we always make reference to, you know, who's going to be Tom Brady's flavor of the week? And yesterday it was Vereen.
Yeah. Well, with Gronkowski out because, of course, broke his arm yesterday.
Yes.
You know, going for surgery, done for the playoffs. You know, so that was a big loss for the New England Patriots. But against the Houston Texans defense, didn't look like they missed Gronkowski yesterday.
Well, yeah, but you know something? And I made the point yesterday watching this game. I said, you know, I don't know if you really – look – I understand what Gronkowski means to the team.
Yeah.
But this team is so loaded with weapons that they can cover that up real, real easily. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
You know, this is not, you know, if it were a different type of a team that was heavily dependent upon him, then this is going to come as a major, major blow. But for a team like the Patriots with so many weapons, and as I said, Brady's flavor of the week, you never quite know who it's going to be.
Yeah.
This is not a situation that's going to break them.
No, it's not. But we'll see what happens because, you know, it hasn't been the Patriots of the Patriots that we're used to, but they're starting to resemble that now.
Yeah.
So over the last bunch of games in the, you know, in the end of the NFL season, and now all of a sudden this big rout over the Houston Texans.
Yep.
But the competition is only going to get stiffer.
But this is typical of the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
I mean, this is when you see them come on.
Yeah.
Is at the end of the season and going into the playoffs. This is when you really start to see it. And this is what makes them the kind of quality team that they are. Make no mistake. Now, you say that the game was kind of, you know, it was kind of dull. You know, perhaps maybe it
well,
wasn't.
Well, I mean, if you look at all the other games from
Sunday, yeah.
To me, you know, it was the dull game of the weekend.
Comparatively, I understand what you're saying. But make no mistake, at halftime, this game was only 17-13.
Yes, it was.
Okay. So, you know, and really when it comes right down to it, I didn't think the Patriots looked that great until really the second half of the game.
Yeah. Well, a few teams didn't. We'll get into that as well.
Yeah.
And now, we were talking about Matt Schaub, how he's going to have to be on. He wasn't terrible yesterday, Matt Schaub.
No, he wasn't. 34-51, 343 yards. He had a touchdown and one interception.
Yeah, that interception hurt their drive. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But when you take a look at both teams, there was darn near close to 1,000 yards in total offense put up. 425 yards by the Houston Texans, 457 yards by the New England Patriots. This was not exactly a defensive game.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't from a long point. It definitely was not a defensive team. But now, Patriots, and of course we'll get to our predictions on Wednesday, but Patriots are now going to be setting the face-off against the Baltimore Ravens.
Right.
A total defensive team. Do you see them putting up 41 points next week?
Right, and we got into this a little bit last night talking about this, and I got to tell you, I, you're right. I'm going to save my picks until Wednesday. But I see that as a real possibility. I mean, with that defense that they're going to be playing against the Patriots, of course, Baltimore's got to go to New England. It could be a very, very interesting matchup. I think it could be a very interesting matchup.
Yeah. Well, and don't forget, next week, Patriots, Ravens, at halftime, we're going to have live coverage at the frat house of Brandon Hain. We're going to go at it in New Jersey. Whoever wins. Streak naked down one of the boulevards.
Oh, no.
That's coverage on YouTube. Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
Frathousesports.net.
We might actually have to do something like, well, not quite like that, but maybe something at halftime.
No,
I don't know.
You know, and I say duel to the death, you know. This is what I've been training for. So.
Oh my gosh, that's too funny. But you're right. I mean, this was you not exactly a defensive matchup here, but I think you can expect something a little bit different next week.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, let's get over to another game. We had the Green Bay Packers and the 49ers on Saturday, Mike. This is a team, 49ers, we both said, you know what, screw them. We hope they lose because of the way they treated Alex Smith.
Yeah.
Colin Kaepernick, he looked damn good. 49ers won 45-35. Once again, not a defensive game at all here.
Uh-huh.
Colin Kaepernick, 17-31, 263, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Wasn't great from the quarterback standpoint. But 16 carries for 181 yards, 2 rushing touchdowns. Is this what set, the 49ers over the Green Bay Packers?
I think there was no doubt about it. No doubt about it. I mean, he had 2 rushing touchdowns yesterday. But if that's the kind of thing that you want to build your offense around, if you want the second coming of Randall Cunningham, I guess, that's fine. Obviously it's going to take them to the championship, to the NFC championship game. Obviously it's working. I'm not digging it.
No.
Listen, I'm not in San Francisco. I'm sure the folks in San Francisco are loving it.
Well, they're definitely loving it. I don't necessarily know if Alex Smith is loving it too much sitting on the sidelines, unfortunately.
Well, no.
Because most of his wins is what propelled the 49ers into the playoffs.
Right.
Real shame there, but let's look at it from the Green Bay standpoint now, because they still put up 31 points in a couple of these other games that we saw. That would have placed them into the second or third round, whatever it is next week. Is Green Bay done? I mean, from a defensive standpoint, from no rushing, all they have is Aaron Rodgers and a couple of aging receivers. What do you think is going to happen with Green Bay?
Green Bay's got to address a ground game in the offseason. That's where I think that they have to go. They have to address a ground game of some nature. They have to do something about that. Otherwise, they've become a rather predictable team.
Yeah. Well, not even that. Greg Jennings, free agent, he's expressed some concern with Green Bay and said some things that weren't really favorable of Green Bay. They lose Greg Jennings. I mean, that's just a huge hit to their receiving core, isn't it?
Maybe, but I think offensively, when you start looking at them offensively, without this, that is eliminating the fact that I think they really, really do need something. They need something of a ground game. They need something of a running game. This is a team that's loaded with weapons, just like the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
Look, you got Jones there. You got Nelson. You got Jermichael Finley. You got Cobb.
Yeah, but if you look at Nelson and Finley, you know what I mean?
Well,
Finley disappears for games at a time.
Yeah, but I'm saying take Jennings out of the mix,
and
you're going to see those guys getting a lot more.
Well, they're going to have to.
Yeah, right.
They're going to have to, but if Jermichael Finley once again goes down with an injury, because he seems to be probable for every game during the season. Jordy Nelson wants, kind of inconsistent Jordy Nelson. He has one monster game. And, then he goes for, who do you blame, though? Do you blame that on Jordy Nelson? Do you blame it on Aaron Rodgers for not throwing enough to him or, missing his target? But, then again, it's different. It's real different. I think them losing Greg Jennings in the offseason is going to be huge.
Let's see if it actually happens. I don't know. I think the New England Patriots, I think Green Bay – it's a recoverable situation, even if they do lose him. I don't think it comes as a major hit. I really, really believe that that Green Bay has got to address some sort of a ground situation. I mean, they have to get a running back of some nature. They have to.
Okay.
So, Mike, I think they're just way too predictable.
You know, I take the mic for a minute, Mike, and really just go through this game yesterday because I know you watch. From Saturday, I know you watched it from the beginning to the end. What were some of the keys of this game, and why did the 49ers win it?
What were some of the keys of the game?
Yeah, what were some of the keys from the 49ers standpoint? I know we know Colin Kaepernick was a big key, but look at the other players. Who else was there?
Yeah, I think Kaepernick had to be the biggest one. I mean, look, he's leading. He led the team in rushing. They put San Francisco had more yards running than they did passing. 323 yards rushing. 263 yards passing, okay? Yeah. 181 of those ground yards came from Kaepernick himself. His average was 11.3 per run. The Green Bay defense just didn't have a clue for him, and that I didn't understand. Because when you see him moving, you got to – the defense never responded to that. They didn't respond to it in the first half. You would have thought that they would have come back in the second half and had some sort of adjustment for it, and they didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just – you know, like I said, if this is what San Francisco wants to do, if this is the kind of offensive game plan they want to go with, fine.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't like putting my quarterback at that kind of risk. We saw situations like this with RG3, and we saw what the outcome was. It's not the kind of game that I want to play. But, you know, who am I to say San Francisco won the game?
Yeah. Well, you know what? Going up against Atlanta now, it's going to be a little different. Atlanta coming off, you know, running after a quarterback like Russell Wilson, who has a much better arm. You know, kind of a hybrid rushing quarterback as well. And they were able to contain him in the first half, and they were able to get some sacks on him.
Yes.
You would have to think that they could, you know, Atlanta would easily be able to contain Colin Kaepernick next week because, you know, he is not as good as Russell Wilson is. But at the same time, now that they're coming off of the, that Seahawks game where they're running after Russell Wilson, they know what to look forward to now with a guy like Colin Kaepernick.
Well, I mean, but... I think that just goes to the whole, you know, who's got the better defense, Atlanta or Green Bay? It's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Atlanta's got a better defense.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
In fact, I was just scrolling down here real quick and trying to find where they are ranked. God darn it. Anyhow, go ahead and I'll pull it up.
Yeah, no, it's – listen, Atlanta definitely has the better defense. Listen, 49ers aren't going to score 45 points on Atlanta. That's not happening. Is Colin Kaepernick going to rush for 181 yards against Atlanta? Don't see that happening as well. I think this is going to be a big test for the 49ers and Colin Kaepernick, and I think it's going to be their first big test with Colin Kaepernick at the quarterback spot since they put him there over Alex Smith. So that's – you know, in my opinion
– Hey, you want to know something here? Interesting. Shoot. Yeah, let me just throw it out real quick.
Shoot.
I'm actually completely wrong. Atlanta's defense is ranked 24th in the league. Green Bay's is ranked 11th. And this is looking at total defense.
How is Green Bay's defense ranked 11th?
Yeah, ranked 11th. Yes,
my God. Mike, is your monitor upside down? Flip it over. Seriously, because I just don't see how their defense is ranked 11th in the league.
Yeah, they're ranked 11th, and Atlanta is ranked, 24th.
Yeah. Well, if you look at the last few games, I mean, Atlanta's defense is a lot better than Green Bay. I mean, they're able to make those big stops when they need to make them. You know, we saw that yesterday a couple of times, and we'll get into that game in a little bit. But let's move over to another game, Mike. Ravens and Broncos, two overtimes. Real exciting game. Ravens won 38-35. You know, what went on in this game? Why did it go into so many overtimes, Mike? And how did the Broncos lose this game?
Well, this was the fourth. I think it was the fourth longest game in the history of the NFL.
Wow.
Going to two overtimes. Peyton Manning made some mistakes. I mean, make no mistake about it. He made some mistakes, particularly late in the game.
Did he try to do too much?
Well, listen, twice, and I mean, I can't believe it, but twice he threw across his body. You know, he ended up with two interceptions in the game. That I think, right there was the difference in this particular game, were the two interceptions.
Well, one interception went for a touchdown, didn't it?
Did one go for a... Yes, it did. Correct. Okay. Yes.
Well, he had both interceptions, Corey Graham.
Yes.
For both.
Correct.
So basically, that one interception just killed it.
Yeah. Well, look, it made the difference. That's the difference in the game right there.
Yeah.
You know, again, though, I mean, when you take a look up and down the scoreboard this weekend, the incredible number of points scored on both sides of the ball in all of these games.
Yeah.
Just an incredible offensive explosion that you saw. 35-38. You know, I hope nobody played the unders on anything.
You know what? But you know what? This is what Denver did against a very good Baltimore Ravens defense. You know, wow. of, you know, 35 points against Baltimore. So, listen, no matter what, you can't take it away from Denver. They had a phenomenal season, 13-3, made it into the playoffs with a quarterback that everybody thought was going to take one hit and that was going to be it for him.
Right, right.
I was going to be paralyzed.
Well, and listen, that, you know, we went over that point last night here at the frat house. I mean, we talked about in the Baltimore defense, and it was pointed out here numerous times. I mean, all right, we all talk about the Baltimore defense, and we give them a lot of credit, but, you know, when you consider that 35 points were scored against them, one has to take a look at that as well. When I was here last night, I went and I checked that one out, and Baltimore, what do you think they're ranked defensively?
Baltimore's defense?
Yeah.
Well, usually they're in the top 10, so wow. I don't know. This season they had a lot of injuries. I'm going to say, what, 16th?
17.
Wow, that was close. All right.
17, yeah. So they're right smack in the middle of the pack.
Yeah.
So they're, you know, I guess maybe for many of us there is kind of this misconception that Baltimore's defense is really, you know, that great. You know, I think right now what I think potentially they could be riding a bit of hype as a result of Lewis and what have you.
Yeah.
So I think that certainly benefits them. I think it helps them. But isn't that funny? I mean, 17th they're ranked, and yet many of us have a tendency to believe that, oh, wow, they're this defensive juggernaut. But,
well, I guess you're coming off the years where they have been defensive juggernauts. Uh-huh. You know, you do have to say, though, that a lot of injuries really hampered this Baltimore defense, though, this year.
Now, take a look at, you know, I guess the question I would throw out with regard to this game. Did Joe Flacco get the monkey off his back? 18-34 he was, 331 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. He had 116.2 QB rating and made Peyton Manning look rather pedestrian.
Yeah, well, I didn't get a chance to watch this game, Mike. I was out, family obligations.
Mm-hmm.
You watched it. How many ducks did Flacco throw that Torrey Smith saved for him? You know what? Were there any ducks thrown from Flacco's hand? That's
With
what I
With all due respect, I will say this. He actually looked pretty darn accurate, and he had a zip going on that ball. And when you consider that they were playing in Denver where they had -2-degree wind chills, I'm going to tell you something. You got to give it to Baltimore for hanging in there in a game that, listen, they were not favored to win. They were the underdog by 9 points.
Well, we both picked Denver as well, didn't we?
Yes, we both did.
Okay.
Yes.
So, I don't know. Let me ask you this, though. You're an Eagles fan. I'm a Jets fan. Would we want Joe Flacco as a quarterback on our team?
Boy, you're hitting me at a bad time because I don't know who the hell our quarterback's going to be.
Well, all right. Even if you got Foles or Vic, let's say you had a choice between Foles, Vic, and Flacco, who would you run with?
Yeah, I'm not. I don't want Flacco. I don't want Flacco.
Really? You'd rather stick with Vic over Flacco?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I would.
Really?
Yeah, I would.
Wow. Even though Flacco is pretty much an Iron Man, huh?
Yeah, I would.
Wow.
I'm not a big Joe Flacco fan. I'm really not. And I guess that's why I threw out the question there, you know, did he get the monkey off his back? The other thing that was interesting, particularly in my mind about this game, is that Denver just couldn't get the run game going.
Yeah.
Marino had 10 carries for 32 yards. Now, I really believed that because of the weather conditions in Denver, I believed that, in fact, Denver was going to rely more on the running game. But boy, oh boy, Baltimore just stuffed that running game up.
Well, let me ask you this. You would have to say that Denver missed having Willis McGahee back there.
I would agree, but they haven't had McGahee back there for quite a while now.
He's well, exactly. But when he is back there,
Marino really has pulled the load there. He's done a fine job.
Yeah, but he didn't last night. So you have to look at it. If you look at it, though, Hillman McGahee tandem the Hillman Marino, tandem last night.
Right.
You'd have to think that having Willis McGahee would have made a big difference because when he's playing Willis McGahee, and you saw it earlier this year, unfortunately, 731 rushing yards, 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
He looked really good behind Peyton Manning.
Oh, listen, and I'm a big McGahee fan. I really, really like the guy. But I got to give credit to Marino. Marino has played very, very well and has stepped into that role quite nicely.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to be perfectly blunt, Jonathan. I don't think whether McGahee would have been in there or not would have made any difference. I think that it was the Baltimore defense stuffing up the run. They did a fabulous job of stuffing it up at the line of scrimmage.
So the 17th-ranked defense did a good job.
They did against the run, yeah.
All right. I also got to throw out there, too, man. That Justin Tucker, man. That field goal kicker. Mm-hmm. Man, he's good. He is damn good.
That was one hell of a kick, wasn't it? Yeah. Under pressure, 47-yard field goal to win the game.
Yeah, I mean, he was 90% on the season. Longest 56. I mean, he's a rookie, isn't he?
You got me, man.
Yeah, I think he's – I honestly believe he is a rookie. If I'm wrong, please somebody call and let me know. Yeah, he's a rookie. I just looked it up.
There you go.
So 16 games, I mean, what a season from a rookie kicker. I mean, you know, coming into the playoffs and nailing that, long, what is that, like a 46-yarder, I think he
47,
hit?
47, yeah, 47-yard kick to win the game in overtime.
From a rookie, you know, come on.
Under pressure, right.
You know, wow. All right, well, Mike, before we get to our, next game here, which is the Seahawks and Falcons, which was probably the best game of the weekend.
Yep.
Let's go to a caller. We have somebody calling in from the 732 area code. What's on your mind?
What's going on, guys?
What's going on?
Nothing. I got to say that that Ravens-Broncos game, I think to me is going to go down at like the the Dolphins Chargers game in 1981 as a classic.
I don't know about that.
What, the Ravens Broncos game?
I don't know about that.
It was definitely it was definitely a classic game, but I think it falls way behind so many other playoff games that we've had.
We brought up that Chargers game and the Dolphins game. We brought that one up here at the frat house just yesterday. I got to tell you, that is one of those games that you just never, ever, ever. If you saw it, you don't ever forget that game. Can I be honest with you? You're going to forget about this Denver-Baltimore game next year.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? The whole epic in Miami thing. I mean, that's something that's always going to be remembered throughout NFL history. This was a good game. Definitely a great game. But like I said, I think it falls really behind so many other playoff games. Even regular NFL season games, I think, were a little more exciting than this one. It was a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely, I don't think it's on the same par as the epic in Miami.
Yeah, and I think, who do we have here? Is this Jose on with us? Is that
yes.
Jose? Okay.
Yes.
And Jose, I'm not in any way, like, coming at you and saying, oh, no, you're dead wrong, dude. You're dead wrong. No, I agree with Jonathan. This was a very good game, and it was a very tense game. But I don't know if you can quite put the comparison to that classic game there that you're talking about.
Yeah, considering that they, dubbed, the Miami game, the game that no one should have lost because, two big teams going at it. I don't necessarily think that you could put, Baltimore in there as a San Diego or a Miami in regards to kind of comparing them to this game. Broncos you could do. I think if they were playing somebody different and it went this long, maybe. But considering it was Baltimore in this matchup, I just don't see it being anywhere near that whole 81 playoff game.
That sounds like you're dissing Baltimore there a little bit, Jonathan. I'm not sure.
I wouldn't say dissing them. But if you looked at the whole 81, Chargers-Dolphins game, one game apart, just separated them. And, Chargers had a phenomenal season in 81.
Yeah. Yeah.
Baltimore didn't have a phenomenal season, but at the same time, like I said, I just think it falls, short.
Were you sitting on the edge of your seat, Jose, with this one?
Oh, I was. Actually, I was. I was at work. I was during my break, and I was watching the final 3 minutes of the game. And when when the Ravens failed to convert on 4th and 5, I was thinking, okay, well, this is the end. This is a great career for Ray Lewis. It sucks that it has to end this way, but he's had a Super Bowl. He's going to go down as one of the greats of all time. And then when Joe Flacco threw up that bomb to Jacoby Jones, which was poorly defended by Denver, especially I think it was Champ Bailey who was covering him in that
you got
up behind the safety.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, is this game is going to be wow. It's just, I was just mesmerized by it.
Were you rooting for Baltimore?
I was rooting for Baltimore, but I wasn't. If Denver held on one, I wasn't going to be disappointed because I want to see also Peyton go.
Yeah.
You know, have another shot at it.
Yep.
Well, considering that him coming in, like I said, nobody even thought he would play an entire season, let alone make it to the playoffs, and that's exactly what he did. So.
Yeah. Oh, and listen, you know, you had two interesting stories, really, on both sides of the ball. You had the story of Peyton Manning coming back and doing what he did this entire season. You had the story of Ray Lewis on the other side, who, as Jose pointed out, I mean, we were looking at the potentiality of that being the very last game of his career. So you had two interesting sidebar stories going on throughout this game.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a good game, Jose. It was a really good game. I can't necessarily say I was sitting on the edge of my seat with this one. I don't know why. For some reason, I wasn't. Definitely was with the Seattle-Atlanta game.
That
one I was on the edge of my seat for, watching it. And we're actually going to get to that game in just a minute or two. But, Mike, I don't know. Were you sitting on the edge of your seat with this Denver game? Because I wasn't.
No, I was. I was on the edge of my seat. And, again, like Jose just said, I guess part of me wanted to see Peyton go to the AFC Championship because I have really been impressed with what he has done this year. Nobody expected this guy. Nobody. Listen, I think last year, during the course of last year, many of us, thought this guy's never going to play football again.
Yeah.
And to have him come back and have the kind of season that he did and to take this team not only to the playoffs, but being one of the highest seeds in the AFC, just an incredible story. And so, therefore, I was rooting for Peyton.
Yeah, definitely cool.
So I was kind of on the edge of my seat with this one. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's good. Jose, man, thanks for calling in, buddy. We appreciate it.
All right, you're welcome. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Jose. Yeah, can't necessarily say I was on the edge of my seat with that one. I don't know why. I mean, I guess because I knew Denver was supposed to win it. And, Baltimore just, in that second overtime, they just had it. So I knew, I don't know, I guess I knew from the beginning of that second overtime that somehow Baltimore was going to take it.
I think all the more reason why I was on the edge of my seat with it. Because, I mean, everybody did expect Baltimore, including myself, to kind of just walk away with this one. I said, though, although, if you recall, I did indicate that I thought that the line was a little high. I thought the line was. If I had played that game, if I were betting that game, I would not have bet Denver. I would have taken Baltimore with the line on that because I thought that the spread was too high.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get over to a game where I was on the edge of my seat, Mike.
We all were.
Yeah, well, most people were. Seattle Seahawks, Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta Falcons live to fight another day, Mike.
Yep.
They won 30-28, and this was a game that was just insane. Atlanta went into halftime 20-0.
Yep.
Second half, just a different Seattle team. Russell Wilson was just in charge of that second half, and they pulled into taking a lead, didn't they, in the second half?
Yeah. Yes, they did. Yes,
yeah.
They were ahead by 1 point. It was 28-27.
Yes.
With 31 seconds left in the game.
Yes. I mean, that this was just a game where you looked at like, wow,
who'd have thunk it?
Exactly. Who'd have thunk it? I mean, this was just a game where I was on the edge of my seat. Literally, I was sitting on the edge of my seat, chewing at my fingernails, like, whoa, because at the end of the game, I mean, that was just insane what was going on.
Listen, I think from about the midpoint of the fourth quarter on, I was standing the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. I was, so ever since that Zach Miller touchdown pass, and then all of a sudden, Marshawn Lynch got in there where, he fumbled it on the line, and the offensive lineman ran in with it, but they gave it to Lynch.
Yeah.
Wow. I couldn't believe it. I was like, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
That's all I said. Are you kidding me? But from a Seattle Seahawks standpoint, Mike, and, we discussed this pre-show, this loss goes on the shoulders of Pete Carroll and nobody else.
Thank you very, very much. I was just about to come out there and say that. I was just about to say, look, I like Pete Carroll. But I'm going to tell you right now, you put this loss at his feet.
Oh, absolutely. What?
All right.
Two times fourth and one.
Twice. Jonathan, he could have put points on the board.
Yes.
And twice he would have had them, and twice he didn't.
And they would have won this game by a full possession.
Yes.
Easily. It's a shame because Seattle played brilliantly. I give that to them. They played brilliantly. Zach Miller, wow, 8 receptions, 142 yards. Who saw that coming from a tight end?
When you take a look at the QB to QB comparison,
yeah.
Russell Wilson beat Matt Ryan, which doesn't surprise me in the least. Russell Wilson, 24 of 36, 385 yards, 2 touchdowns. Yes, he did have an interception. He had 109.1 QB rating.
Yes.
Versus Matt Ryan, 24 of 35 for 250, 3 touchdowns and 2 interceptions.
Yeah.
And a 93.8 QB rating.
But
so,
you got to go to where Pete Carroll lost this game for Seattle. Matt Ryan won this game from Atlanta because those 2 passes at the end to get them into field goal range were 2 of the most precise passes I think I've seen in a while for Matt Ryan.
And
got them downfield like that with a snap of the fingers.
And what happened to the Seattle defense? Well, let me tell you, that Seattle defense, I'm going to tell you, in my opinion, was just completely winded from being out on that field so long. Now, look, the offense was able to kind of even things up a little bit at the end. If you take a look at time of possession, Atlanta only had the ball overall for the game about 2.5 minutes more than Seattle did. But
the first half.
Exactly. It was lopsided.
They had like a 15-minute overage on them. I mean,
yep.
They, you know, and that's what Atlanta did in the first half, which helped them come out to a 20-point lead, 20-0. Held onto the ball. They killed the time of possession, which when you do that with a quarterback like Russell Wilson, who needs the ball to be effective on both the throwing and the running game, they killed them. But then all of a sudden, here we go, second half, they couldn't even hold on to the ball, Atlanta.
Well, and you were making comments during the course of the game because you and I were going back and forth, IMing each other.
Yes.
And you were going on about Gonzalez. I got to tell you something. You gotta give a game ball to Michael Turner.
Oh no, absolutely.
What a game he had.
And what did I say at the beginning of the season, Mike? For this team to be effective, they have to have a consistent Michael Turner. I said that many times.
Right.
And all of a sudden, boom! But not only that. I hate to say it. I think you would have to give a game ball to Jacquizz Rodgers.
Absolutely.
He made some phenomenal plays.
Did you? Obviously, you did. The one play where he just went head-to-head and just kept bowling down the field.
Oh, man. That was insane. I was like, are you kidding me? Again. I mean, there was so many games where where I just could not believe that this team was making these plays on both sides of the ball. And that Jacquizz Rodgers won. I can't remember who he ran over, though, which is bothering me right now. But, man, he crushed him.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had that big, big, big offensive lineman on his back while he was making that play, Jacquizz Rodgers. And he's only, 5'6"?
I was going to say he's a short little dude.
He is so – Mighty Mouse is what they call him. I just could not believe –
Who was it he bowled up against? Was it Browner?
Oh, man. I'm looking for it right now.
I think I might just have to get the videotape of that and end 5 minutes at the frat house this week with Rodgers.
Earl Thomas.
Oh, okay, Thomas.
He
ran
over Earl Thomas, and I think he had Russell Okung on his back, who was just
five
times the size of him. And, man, I think he ran that for like a good 25 yards, I think.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, easily. It might have been more than that.
Yeah. I mean, it was his longest.
Wait. What was his longest?
You know what? That might have been about a 45-yard run.
What was his longest? His longest was 45 yards. His longest was a 45-yard. That's what I just had.
If they could get what they got from Turner and Jacquizz Rodgers yesterday, they have a very good chance of going to the Super Bowl.
I think that's very possible. I think that I haven't looked at the lines, but I would.
Yeah, we'll talk about all of that on Wednesday.
We'll throw
out some of our predicts. So
yeah, we'll look at that on Wednesday. I prefer to wait on the lines because early lines I think frequently change, so I haven't looked at them. But I would think that Atlanta would be probably the favorite in this. But
yeah. What about Marshawn Lynch, man? Real low day from him.
But
if he was a yard before that, it would have been a fumble.
Okay, but wait, go back and take a look at what I was talking about. They weren't running the right schemes for Lynch.
No, they weren't.
They kept running him up the middle. They had the opportunity. If they had been running into the outsides, then they would have been making some ground.
Yeah.
But they weren't. They just kept running them up the middle. I really questioned in this entire game at different times. I questioned the play calling on the Seattle sideline.
Yeah, listen, this loss goes on the shoulders of Pete Carroll and the coaching staff.
Yes.
Nobody else. Everybody for Seattle was phenomenal yesterday. And it's a shame this season ended that way, but it did. And listen, future is bright.
And again, you know, I kind of hate to say it because I like Pete Carroll. And I think he's done a phenomenal job in Seattle.
Yeah.
He turned this team around from being what you know, and we were kind of joking yesterday because we thought, I mean, listen, they go up by 1 point. It's 28-27 with 31 seconds left in the game, and we're sitting here going, hey, can you imagine this? It's going to be an NFC West division championship. Think about that. NFC West. This was the division that everybody had discounted just a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything coming out of the West. And suddenly, you know, because we were so quick to believe that, in fact, it was going to be Seattle. I mean, who's thinking that they're going to lose with 31 seconds left in the game? Just amazing, amazing situation.
Yeah, it really was. This was a classic game, edge of your seat game, only for, you know, even if you don't look at the entire game, you look at the last 50 seconds of this game.
Yeah.
Where both teams had at least two chances to score again.
Right.
I mean, it was insane. I couldn't believe that. Now, let me ask you this now. It would have been like a 64-yard field goal for Ryan Longwell. 2 seconds left. Would you have taken a chance on that field goal, or would you have went for the Hail Mary pass? Because, you know what? The chances of a Hail Mary pass working are just so rare.
No, run that by me again. I'm sorry. Yeah, pose your question. I was looking at something else real
quick. Oh, no. At the end of the game, when they went for the Hail Mary pass with 2 seconds left, instead of trying that 60-yard field goal by Ryan Longwell, if you were the coach of the Seahawks, which one would you have went with? Because I thought them going for that 60-yard field goal possibly had a better chance than them going for the Hail Mary pass.
Well, you know, we debated it. We did sit here and debate that. You know, what really would have helped a whole heck of a lot more had been had the previous play gotten a few more yards.
It would have. But listen, that screen pass to Lynch or whatever it was at the end there, that was just a dumb decision.
They needed to go longer. That
yes.
was for darn sure. But, you know, look, I got – as much as I'm going to put this loss at the feet, as you say, and I agree with you, that we're going to put it at the feet of Pete Carroll, I have to respect the coaching staff for knowing what their kicker is capable of doing. At that particular time, you were talking about, as you point out, a 60-plus yard field goal attempt.
Yeah.
They had to have known that there was no way that their guy was going to do that.
Yeah.
To second guess them on that, I probably would have said, yeah, let's give it a shot and see what happens and try the field goal. But I think that, you know, when it comes right down to it, when you go back and watch that last second play, he threw into double coverage into the end zone, and I think it actually got intercepted, did it not?
Yes, it did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but he had the man. He had his man in the corner. He just underthrew it a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Like we said, definitely falls on the back of the coaching staff this win, but good for Seattle because future is so bright in Seattle. Nobody expected them to go 11-5.
Absolutely.
And nobody expected to have the season that they had from Russell Wilson, from Marshawn Lynch, from a couple other Golden Tate, Sidney Rice. Nobody expected this team to gel that quick together with a rookie quarterback, and they did.
And in many respects, I'm going to tell you, I think it's kind of a shame on for Russell Wilson. Well, not that it's a shame, but it is. It's a shame and it's not a shame to have him come into the league the same year as Andrew Luck and RG3. If this guy comes into the league in any other season, he's a rookie of the year candidate. I don't think he is this year because of RG3 in particular.
Alfred Morris as well, right? Do you think both of them will finish?
Oh, Alfred Morris, I agree with you. I mean, just absolutely phenomenal. But Russell Wilson is in many respects. I'll tell you right now, watching a whole season of Russell Wilson and Andrew Luck, I would take Russell Wilson on my team over Andrew Luck.
Well, I mean, both are great quarterbacks. I mean, listen, I think Russell Wilson has a better team in Seattle than Andrew Luck does in Indianapolis. If you switch to, you know, if you switch their roles around, would Luck have been a better quarterback this year? I mean, I honestly think that they have a better cohesive unit in Seattle than Luck did in Indianapolis. I just think he had no protection this year.
So. I think Russell Wilson's got something that Andrew Luck doesn't, and that's mobility.
Yeah, yeah. But Luck is a good quarterback, though. Yeah, Luck has a very good arm. You got to give it to Andrew Luck for the season he had in Indianapolis because nobody expected that.
Russell Wilson is incredibly accurate.
Yeah. Oh, no, he is. He is. And you know what? I saw that a lot yesterday. I mean, he throws the ball with such zip on it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of quarterbacks that don't do it. They float it because they think it's going to get to their wide receiver. He makes sure it gets there. So.
Correct. And as a third-round pick, he's a steal.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? I have to say this, too. Last night, I saw Russell Wilson throwing passes that I didn't see him throw in the first bunch of weeks of this season. You can see he's growing into –
he's matured. Yep.
Yeah, he's quick.
Yep.
And you know what? You don't see that from a lot of rookie quarterbacks. And we've seen that from three this season. That's got to be phenomenal.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, well, staying with the NFL trend, let's talk Jets real quick. We have a little over 8 minutes left in the show. You know, some things are coming out from Jay Glazer saying that, you know, nobody wants to take the general manager's job in New York, Mike. And it's not because of Rex Ryan. It's because of their cap situation, their personnel, the quarterback, and the circus that surrounded him this season. You called bull on that pre-show.
I did.
Explain why.
Yeah, I call BS on it. You know, we're hearing similar types of things down here in Philadelphia because, you know, we don't have a head coach yet. Listen, if you're trying to tell me that somebody doesn't want to take a general manager position for a team in what, the second largest market in the entire country, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And if you're telling me that, listen, anybody out there that's got their wherewithal to be a general manager for a National Football League team, anybody who's got the wherewithal to do that, they are not going to be intimidated by, quote-unquote, a circus atmosphere. That's nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
This is the media making a lot out of nothing, okay? The media is trying to stir up the fan bases, not just in New York, but in Philadelphia as well. They're trying to stir up the fan bases by saying, oh, look, we're not a good enough team. People don't want to come in and work with our team. Look at what we have. Look at this. Look at who we've got as our general manager here in Philadelphia. Howie Roseman's a problem. Bull crap. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. I know. You know what? I agree. And you know what? If this is somebody that wants to put their staple and become a known name in the NFL, this is the perfect position.
Absolutely.
Because if these people have any faith in their managerial skills, guys like Tom Gamble, Mark Ross, Jerry Angelo, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, they would take this job.
Listen, and like I said, you make the point as well, just right now with what you said. If they've got the wherewithal and the skills to do it, then guess what? They're going to get control of the circus, and there won't be one.
Exactly. And anyway, you can see it right now because there's so many open holes in this coaching staff, and even on the defensive side of this ball, and it's going to be on the offensive side of the ball. This is the spot for general manager to come because he's got the right to fill these holes with players he wants to fill them with.
Exactly.
He has the right to hire the coaches he wants to coach. If he's going to come in and work with Rex Ryan, who still is a very, you know what, he is a good coach, Mike. I think he just, the team went from good to bad. And like I said, I blame that on the general manager because of, you know, letting these players that were so good go in Mark Sanchez's first two seasons and bringing in troublemakers like Santonio Holmes. You got to give Rex another shot. And I think this is the perfect spot for a GM who wants to come into a team, make a big name for himself. This is the spot to go. I don't see why anybody would be scared off by it.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. You know, personally, I think Jay Glazer is a bit of a yutz.
Yeah.
And I would dare him to come on my show right now and say anything because I'm going to call him that. All right? I am six. It's like the media sits out there and sets their timetable on when we're supposed to have head coaches or when we're supposed to have general managers.
Yeah.
Let the ownership make those decisions, and we'll see where it goes. This is nonsense. To be putting out stories saying, rebuff Jets can't give general manager job away, that's irresponsible in my opinion.
Yeah. Listen, if right away they can hire a general manager, if it's not the guys they want, they can easily give it to Scott Cohen, who is the assistant general manager. He would take it in a heartbeat. They have people that will take this job. They're just trying to hold out for the best person for the job.
Absolutely.
Whether it's a Jerry Angelo, whether it's a Tom Gamble, whether it's Ross or whether it's Cohen himself, there is no reason for them to jump in right away and hire somebody instantly when they know that they have a lot of things to do and get done for next season.
Yep.
But they still have time. Because who knows? Maybe next week a general manager from another team is going to get canned. And maybe they can grab that thing. Listen, I think what Jay Glazer says is bull. And I think there are a lot of people that would like to take this Jets general manager job.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you. And again, it's another perfect case of media manipulation.
Yeah.
And you know something? All I say to the fan bases in New York or in Philadelphia or wherever, the fan base is there, hey, settle down, relax, don't listen to them so much. Don't be thinking that, oh, this is a bad place for people. People are being dissuaded from coming here because of what the atmosphere is. That's nonsense.
It is nonsense. It is nonsense, Mike.
All right, well, I got heated there for a minute.
it's fun when you get heated, Mike. You know, because I think people listen and they get scared and they hide.
Yeah, right. They don't want to come. They don't want to come on the radio show.
Yeah, see, nobody,
you know, it's like they don't want to go to the Jets.
Yeah, see,
you know, they don't want to come on their show. They, you know, I might yell at them.
Oh, listen, stop yelling at people, Mike. Stop it now. All right, real quick,
are we going to open up our show on Wednesday? I don't know, calling it WRG3 or something?
Yeah, we should. Because, real quick, let's talk about this. A radio station in D.C., WPGC, they actually renamed their station WRG3 this past weekend.
Yeah.
The great part about it is that they wanted people to go to their website and write condolence messages to RG3, wishing them well. Sorry about your injury, et cetera. 6 Washington Redskins fans went to the website and wrote messages.
It was an overwhelming success, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, yeah.
6.
Yeah.
A whopping total of 6. Listen, that's Washington fans for you. What can I tell you?
I hate to say it too, at the same time, that's Seattle fans too, because the bandwagon's really full, but when they're not competing anymore and they're out of the playoffs, guess what? The only person on the bandwagon is the horse pulling it.
Well, you know, we talked about this real quick, and we only got a couple of minutes here. But we talked about this one earlier, and I would love to get somebody on from that radio station. If there's anybody out there that knows anybody from that radio station in Washington, if they could call into us on Wednesday, I'd love to hear from them. Because I'd like to know how they were able to get away with this, because there are SEC regulations. And I would think that they would have had to have gotten approval from the SEC in order to change their call letters.
They would have had to. I can't see how they would be able to do it without doing it, Mike.
I'd love to hear from somebody from the radio station, though. If there's anybody that knows anybody down there, if anybody knows the program director or the general manager, have them call into us on Wednesday.
Yeah, you know what? I think we'll just reach out to them on our
There you go. I think we ought to try that.
All right, Mike. Well, we only got a couple minutes left in the show here, so it's time to say thank you to everybody listening into Fan Junkies Radio, one of the fastest-growing internet radio shows going today.
You are not kidding.
Hundreds of thousands
yep.
a month. Thank you all. Seriously. We do what we do for you. We enjoy doing it. Of course, we don't get paid for doing it. But we enjoy it. And at
It's the love that we have.
Exactly, exactly. You know what? Things are going to be different soon. We're looking for sponsors. We're looking for commercial radio spots. So if you're interested, please, jragus@fanjunkies.net. Get in touch with me. Let's talk. This is a show for the fans, by the fans, and that's what we continue to do. It's brought to you by FanJunkies.net, sports social networking. Get on, sign up, 100% free. Great stuff. As always, head over to FriedHouseSports.net. You know, you can watch Mike. You can watch Sidekick. Great stuff going there. We're going to have a grudge match between Sidekick and Brandon soon. So, seriously, thank you all once again, and we'll be back with you Wednesday. So, for Mike McShane, I'm Jonathan Ragus. See you all on Wednesday.
Talk to you then.
Maybe you're a 49ers fan in Jacksonville or a Jets fan in Houston, and you're looking to connect with fellow fans from hundreds or thousands of miles away. Look no further than FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net is a social networking site dedicated to fans of every team and every league. Connect with baseball, football, basketball, and hockey fans from throughout the country and throughout the world. Get the latest news, take polls, and interact in live chats on game day. And best of all, it's absolutely free to join. Sign up today at FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net, where sports meet social networking.